Getting Zen with Gen Z. Empowering, motivating, and inspiring you to live your happiest, healthiest life. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Getting Zen with Gen Z. When I think of the Gandhi quote, "Be the change you wish to see in the world," I think of my next guest, Todd Velcor. I met Todd when I was on one of Patty's late night shows, and I feel like we have a lot of things in common, mainly wanting to be able to help others in life. And we may do that in different formats, but I feel like we can come together kind of in that mission. Todd, he is the executive director and co-founder of Chicago Social Change. And I want to say creator of Solve.
Founding partner.
There we go. So Todd, welcome so much. I'm so happy you were able to come today and share this time with me. I know your schedule is super busy.
No, it's great to be here. It's a wonderful studio and have the opportunity to actually be part of the podcast that I've been listening to and enjoying so much.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. It's so crazy to think, like, when we met on Patty's show that now I'd be having you here on my own podcast.
Well, it's not crazy. You got the talent, and you've definitely got a message that people need to hear. So it's great that you're out here on the radio making it more public in a different venue.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your support, always. Today, we are in a little bit of a different studio, so I'm hoping sound is sounding amazing, but just in case, I think you sound pretty good right now, so we should have no issues. But give us a little background about you and your career path.
Yeah. Let's see. So I grew up raised by my mother as a single parent with three siblings in the household. She raised my older siblings in the Dearborn Home Projects in the South Side of Chicago until I came along, and then we moved out to the suburbs. And I had the opportunity to see life from a lot of different perspectives. I had a chance to see it from the perspective of someone who, you know, was poor, who did not have money personally, but also my brother was paraplegic, so I had a chance to see what life was like for people who couldn't get around as easy, and entire societies really were not geared to make it easier for him to get around, and just the ways in which the world and the systems that, you know, that make up the world just take people out of the entire equation. And that inspired me at a younger age to try to do something to help other people, you know, because, you know, we had a lot of opportunities through the love and the sacrifice my mother gave and really did everything she could to make sure we had good educational opportunities. But there wasn't a lot of people fighting for others like my mother was fighting for us and our family. So it was important for me, you know, as I grew older to do things I could to help and serve others. And it started with building ramps for folks who are, you know, wheelchair bound. And then I was tutoring, you know, trying to help kids, you know, continue to learn and grow. Just as my sister tutored me, and I thought I wanted to be a doctor. I was pre-med and did like kind of pre-med stuff, nerdy stuff. And I'm still nerdy stuff. Just a little bit different.
Yeah.
And while I was in school, undergraduate school at the University of Michigan, I got more involved in social activism and getting people out to vote and educating people on their financial, you know, goals within the education context, and realizing that it's as cool as it is to be able to help people in the area of being a doctor. But I didn't really like blood, so it was an odd fit in the first place.
So you're like, yeah, that might not work for me so well.
I pivoted to from being, you know, organic chemistry to, you know, political science and philosophy type stuff, and become a lawyer. Because I wanted to be like Thurgood Marshall, you know, changing laws by representing significant causes before the Supreme Court. When I went to law school, I learned that the Supreme Court is not this mythical thing where you can actually convince them to do things.
They kinda, might be a little more difficult than that.
They have their own ideas, and you can't really disabuse them of that. So the best thing to do is to learn to change laws. So that's when I started realizing, in addition to providing legal assistance to the poor for free, I need to change the laws responsible for really making it difficult for people to succeed. Wow. So I've been doing that, 19 laws and counting so far.
That's incredible.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow. I'm grateful for the opportunities I've been afforded, but also for the progress that my team has been able to really make possible. We've got a nice sprawling team of misfits at Social Change and Solve, and we're all just trying to make the world a better place.
That's amazing. I mean, I think the work you do is just incredible, and you're an inspiration to a lot of people. Just to have that passion to want to help others and create change, however big or small it is, you have such an impact. And I think people don't realize that, you know, yes, it may be difficult to just change the world one person, but the small things you can do daily do have a huge impact in people's lives, even if it's helping one person or, you know, 100 people, whatever it is. But I think when you have that passion and fire within, it's just something so beautiful and fulfilling to be able to help change somebody's life.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, certainly it's not something you do for the money.
Right,
but when you help people for free as a lawyer, you have lots of debt and no mechanisms to really relieve that debt.
Mm-hmm.
But the fulfillment definitely comes in the way you see people's lives change as a direct result of the work you've been able to do with them. And I think that sort of thing is well beyond what money can compensate or provide, but also it keeps you going because this is tiring work, and dealing with people who are maybe at the lowest point and other things can be very draining. And so, and of course, you know, I've got family issues like everyone else, and you know, personal things you have to navigate. So you just kind of make sure you take time for yourself here and there, but also recognize the beauty and the progress that you are able to make, so you can kind of have some opportunities to take stock and, you know, reboot.
Yeah, absolutely. Like everything, and I always say it's just about having that balance, I think, in life, because, you know, in order to help others, you need to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And your family, and, you know, if you're running ragged and drained and stressed, I mean, we need to take that time to become whole, feel good, be present and grounded, and then we can kind of, you know, forge on with the work that we need to do.
Very zen-like approach.
Yeah,
I appreciate
you know,
it.
I'm just saying. So tell us the mission of Chicago Social Change.
Yeah, Social Change is committed to disrupting systems and liberation through culture, technology, and advocacy. So we work to make sure people have access to jobs, access to justice, and vote, and have their basic needs met. So culture, we have our festivals. We have our Change Fests that have music, art, film, and fashion, all celebrating our common humanity. We have our next one coming up in Los Angeles on November 10th. So I've got to fly up this weekend or next to help my team on the ground there, and then be there in a couple weeks thereafter. And then technology, you mentioned Solve, but it's also an opportunity to make it easier for people to get access to jobs and services by giving them all that in one device, in their phone, the palm of their hand. And then, of course, the advocacy we talked about, making sure we're working with people who are impacted by injustice and making sure their voice is uplifted and represented in the law.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That covers so much. That's just incredible. You have to have, like, how big is your team of people that help you?
I've got a really nice team.
I'm like, that's a lot of work for one person.
They're patient with me, and they're incredible. I've got a board of 7. I've got 18 members who are putting significant work in on a regular basis, and the Solve itself has 5 team members. And, you know, we're a motley crew, I say, because we're all very different. And we all have different things that we're most excited about, but we all, you know, come together and help each other out, and it's really beautiful. I really appreciate that.
That's awesome. That's a great support system right there.
Yeah, it is. And people like you and Patty, people I've met along the journey, have been an absolute blessing, because you all also imbue some energy and some life and love into me, and that's very helpful, because, you know, every day is, you know, it's a roller coaster out here. So it's great
Absolutely.
To have people who are positive and consistent like you all.
We all need to motivate and empower each other. I think, you know, we're all going to go through ebbs and flows of hard times, you know, good times, but to be able to share that with each other and find that source of inspiration, I think, is very helpful. Because we do know that it can be very difficult at times, you know, it's a struggle. It's real.
Yeah, it is. The struggle is very real.
Yes. So when did Social Change start?
2012.
Okay, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, and then we've expanded the capacity to do the advocacy and the technology stuff in the last couple of years. So really wanted to have a standalone next generation nonprofit that's really committed to being embedded in the community and make sure the community is really the author of the solutions that for the issues they endure. And I thought, taking stock of the nonprofit community as a whole, they're not as good at that. They're generally downtown, which doesn't make a lot of sense in just in and of itself.
Yeah.
Because that means you're there for the business people and the funders, not necessarily the community as,
right.
as an outward facing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, a lot of times nonprofits tell community members what they want to do for them versus listening to a community member and people telling you what they need and you make sure you support and uplift their effort to do that. And so those fundamental things are a reason why we've been so impactful and effective with so little money in terms of our budget and stuff.
So do you have a lot of people within the community volunteering in a lot of your events and helping to support along with your team and staff?
Yeah, actually, we have a breathtaking number of volunteers. I mean, just our last Change Fest in Chicago, September 20th through 30th at DuSable, we had over 35 volunteers.
Wow.
And these are people who, you know, I've never met personally oftentimes. Mm-hmm. They see us online or they appreciate some of the work we're doing. And I can't be more grateful for them because without their, you know, their energy and their really providing kind of a shot in the arm, because a lot of times you're running ragged, you see a fresh face who's ready, how can I help?
Yep.
You're like, you're right. Let me get my head in this and get my energy up. Thank you. Yeah. So if you could just help me with this table here, I'd appreciate it. You know, that
type
of stuff.
The simple things. But yes, having that group of people that are super excited and want to be able to help some way, somehow, in something they believe in, it just, you know, definitely it makes a positive impact.
It does. It does. And I'm grateful for that.
So I was so bummed to have missed Change Fest.
Oh, I was bummed too.
I know. I'm sorry.
That's all right. You can come to one in LA.
But you know, I would love to do that. That would be absolutely amazing, let me tell you. But tell us, it was 3 days. Tell us all the events that happened.
Yeah, absolutely. We had musical performances from people like Leon from the Five Heartbeats and Temptations, and a book signing by Kim Whitley, a well-known comedian. We had world premiere films like 63 Boycott, which talked about the students who decided to take their education in their own hands and walk out of schools because of the substandard education they were receiving. And really just, we had a fashion show that was absolutely incredible by Duval, a gentleman who was a clothier for the Mandela family for over 10 years.
Wow.
And so it was just something for everybody. And it was a really fun, family-friendly environment. We had vendors who were selling everything from funnel cakes to, you know, soul food. We had great music. We had live painting that was done by a gentleman named Rojo Garcia, who's a wonderful muralist from throughout the city, and a gentleman named Logic. Well, Julian Gillum, his Logic is his artist name.
Okay.
And it was really, we had a community tent where people were performing. It was just a lot going on. And it was really a tremendous undertaking. So as much as I enjoy the actual product, I'm kind of glad to take a little break too.
Oh, of course. I mean, a 3-day event is, I mean, and it sounds like it was jam-packed with so much going on. I mean, that's amazing. But yes, that's a lot of work to definitely undertake. And so you have one in LA. How many are you trying to do per year?
You know, it's interesting that you asked that, because some of the people who attended were saying, well, I'd love to have this in my city. So whether it be Atlanta or even Mississippi or even South Africa, Liberia, some wonderful, because it's an international festival. So people come from all over and then they want to recreate the buzz, the energy, the loving environment. That's what I said in my opening remarks. You know, wherever you come from, I hope you feel like you're home when you're here, because I think it's that sort of openness, that space for people to be themselves and talk open and honestly about issues of the day. So, yeah, I mean, we've had 3, New York, LA, and Chicago on the books, but the way things are growing, if we can continue to get the financial support to accompany it, then there's no reason we can't have it in other places as well.
And what are some of the main streams of support, I guess, you would have just through the fundraising, through the events? How can people kind of donate and be able to help support?
Well, that's right. I mean, we have some support from sponsors like Blue Cross Blue Shield and Illinois Humanities. But the majority of our support, it comes from everyday people who just say, hey, I love the work that you all are doing. and they go to socialchange.site and they click donate, and whatever they want to do, whether it be regularly, on a monthly basis, we have certain programs or people who do that to honor them. Mm-hmm. But absolutely, socialchange.site and donate. But take a look at our work. Our request is that people join us. So whether you donate or volunteer, we just want your time and energy to support the change you're trying to make. And we definitely need everyone on deck.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, and we'll put all that information too when the podcast launches, so that people can go there, check out everything you're doing,
donate,
and support, because you know what you're doing is very important to the community, especially. Share with us, what are some of the main struggles you think that you've had?
Yeah, well, I think the financial struggle makes it difficult to do all the things we want to do. Mm-hmm. So our vision is pretty vast. And when you have something that allows, that works, and you see the way it's working, and you're just like, man, let's scale this up. Let's really grow this thing.
And right.
It's like you have to be patient with the process.
Oh, yes, you know, patience.
Meeting people, the right people who are interested in helping it grow, and also not getting too sidetracked with other projects and other ideas. Trying to maintain some focus. But we've got, you know, part of the beauty of having a board as diverse as ours is you know, people got a lot of incredible ideas. Our board is almost all women, now I think about it. And
That's interesting.
So that's a smart move right there.
Yes, it is.
And it is all minority. Sure. So I think that's intentional also, to make sure that the board reflects the communities that we serve. And we've got a lot on the docket. I think the hardest part is trying to manage it all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, also take a little time for myself and my family and all that. And I've been better about that, but sometimes it's still not enough. So I try to keep cognizant of how much time I'm spending with my family, like once a week, give them some uninterrupted time, and mm-hmm. continue to kind of grow out this vision, this beautiful struggle day by day.
Yeah. It's, you know, you get so excited, I think, about the future and what you can do and all of the opportunities you have, mm-hmm. and realizing that you do just, you know, timing will kind of allow a little bit of when these goals can be achieved. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, I'm a big believer in that everything happens for a reason, and we have to just be patient and kind of, you know, move forward and wait and see what'll happen. And I think it's those right connections too, of people that you meet. Mm-hmm. You never know, you know, what'll happen.
That's right. That's exactly right. So just trying to be patient with the process, and, you know, just recognize, you know, some mistakes you make along the way, and try to improve upon it and be a better person, better leader, better everything, son. So it's part of the daily growth, but definitely the patience is a virtue that I'm working on.
Yes, absolutely. I was actually talking about that with my friend earlier today too. We were recording, and she helps a lot of people start businesses and for hobbies and passions that they love, turning it into more of a business. And we were just saying, you know, as being entrepreneurs, you have to be patient sometimes.
Yes.
Because you might have a vision now and it might not, you know, come to fruition until 3 years from now. You know, you never know, but it's all worth it, and it's all meant to be when it does. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's something exciting to kind of see flourish.
Yes, it's exciting for sure.
What are some of the things that you're most proud of that you can recognize that you guys have been able to accomplish?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I'm proud of the team we have. I think we've curated a really wonderful organization that's made of people who really care and have really diverse talent sets and ideas. And I think as a result of that, we've been able to get some really incredible things accomplished. And whether it's, you know, providing clothing and hygiene products to over 1,000 people in different cities across the nation, or just changing laws that ensure that there's some accountability by the government when they're mistreating people, mm-hmm. or bail reform, making sure people are properly considered for bail and not just thrown in jail and forced to remain because they can't afford to get out. Another bill that we had turned into law was ensuring that people aren't, you know, being arrested simply for being poor. And that's happening when people can't afford to pay their tickets and things like that. So it multiplies, and
oh my gosh,
eventually you can lose your license, become arrested, all just because you don't have money.
Because you don't have the money to be able to pay for it.
So the work we've done to decriminalize poverty and to really increase access to justice, I think we're proud of it. I mean, 19 laws is something that
that's outstanding.
I think very few organizations can even boast. So I think we're doing some work that we're fortunate to really make a real difference.
I mean, that's incredible. Just to, you know, I think it's hard because there are a lot of people who may not, you know, have the financial ability to, you know, pay for things that you and I might be able to not even question or second guess, you know, mm-hmm. and having to be arrested because of that, you know, that's just a very hard thing to kind of understand. But the fact that that happens, you know, that's something amazing that you guys are really working towards to help these people out.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you.
You know, I mean, that's something that I think needs to be recognized and should be more so. But just people understanding that these things, you know, are going on within the communities here.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and we have to be able to help make that change.
Yeah, and it's amazing when you describe some of these issues, like, wait, that's happening? That's an actual thing?
Well, it's right, like, you know, it's like when you said that, I'm like, oh, wow, like, really? Like, you know, that's why it's just, I feel like knowledge is power. And and not that it's a fault of anybody, but everybody's busy with things that they do in their life. But it's like, to listen to this and to understand and really learn, you know, what's going on, what changes are trying to be made, how you can help support those things.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's just something that's very important.
Oh, thank you. I mean, everyone has their bubble at the end of the day, and that bubble may preclude people from even having that personal experience or knowing anyone who has it. So unless you get a chance to talk to someone or hear about something like on an incredible show like this, I mean, people don't really know how people are really struggling out here. So it's important that we do our part to make it easier for them to live the American dream too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I love this. I just want to be able to have a platform to shed light and have other people share their stories of what they're doing or how they're helping people or empowering others. You know, because it's not about me. I mean, it's about everybody else. And that's what I want to shed the light on, you know, those people making that change. So I think that's awesome. Yet again, sorry. I just hit you on the leg, Todd. Sorry. So tell us a little bit too, you know, I know we talked about Solve and the actual, you know, technology piece, but this is really helping pair or find people jobs within the community, correct?
That's right. I mean, Solve is a simple but brilliant idea, just kind of removing the silos and the barriers to opportunity. A lot of times people, their ability to access opportunity is really limited to who they know in their networks and, you know, what's available in the community that they're in.
Right.
But why don't we remove those barriers and make all the opportunities available to everyone who wants them and is able. So that's what the software does. It makes it so people can identify their barriers, whether it be housing or legal assistance or workforce development and stuff. And they can then map out a plan to help them overcome them. And without necessarily having to know the mayor or knowing the legislators or, you know, to get the favors and things, you can actually just have that navigation take place through the context of working with a church or a nonprofit or something like that. So every nonprofit, every organization is in a better position to meet all the needs of the people who come before them. Mm-hmm. And I think that should be, that should really be a goal of anyone truly interested in serving. So I know people are like, oh, we're staying in your lane, focus on one thing. Sure. But also build a Rolodex that allows people to feel comfortable coming to you and knowing that you can, they can trust your suggestions about who you're referring them to.
Sure.
Yeah. And, you know, and feel comfortable saying, well, I'm also dealing with this. And it's like, okay, well, I can find someone to help you with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, all this is just clicks away versus phone calls and databases and all the extra stuff. It makes it really simple.
Right. Have you guys, I don't know if you have or, you know, I know this is a little bit newer, but partnering with like any big corporations or anything to help kind of?
Yeah, so you're right. So the employers are interested in Solve because they want to diversify their workforce. They want to get access to talent. So they pay to be on the software.
Okay, great. I was going to say, it seems like a win-win,
For sure. Same is true for you know, apartment complexes and things like that. When people are trying to find housing, they also want to find good candidates. Nonprofits want to find more folks that they can serve, so it helps their numbers and things like that. So I mean, it really is a nice confluence of different organizations that want to be engaged. So yeah, we do have folks like Rush Hospital and things like that, and construction companies, and we've got another one that's a huge one, but I have to wait till we finish closing it before I give too much. So maybe by the time I see you again, we can talk about it. But
yeah,
we're just really engaging the community in a really sincere way. and trying to make sure we can all do better to help people, but also track the impact we're having by using technology.
Absolutely. I mean, and that just seems like such a great opportunity because of knowing, you know, especially you and having this organization tied to this technology, it's basically like a trusted, almost verified site for the corporation to kind of utilize to be able to find, you know, employees and people to, you know, join the workforce.
That's right. That's right. And that's, you said it better than I can, so I'll just let it be at that.
I mean, I think that's a very smart thing that you guys have created, and I think it just fits very nicely into the package of social change, really.
Yeah, we think so. We think so. And that's, it is a startup company, so we are looking for investors and more people to be engaged. So if anyone's hearing it, solve.is the website. Solve.is.
Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. And then, I mean, social change, solve, like, it just really resonates. And I think, you know, you can understand kind of the mission, you know, that you guys are kind of going on and the impact you're trying to make. Is there anything else that you want to share with us? Any other events that are coming up or things that are important for the listeners to hear?
Well, this is election season. So I think the most important thing I can ask everyone to do is to vote, because if you don't, you're actively allowing other people to choose who's going to make decisions about your life. And I think that's the fundamental thing we need to all make sure we honor and appreciate, even in local elections. There are better options than who may be the status quo, or kind of the walk-in candidate.
Mm-hmm.
So be sure to be, you know, listening and be aware of the different folks who are coming to your door trying to get you to sign petitions and, you know, hear people out. And I think at the end of the day, if more people vote, more people pay attention, then we'll have representation that's better reflects and gets our needs accomplished.
Absolutely.
So we've got gubernatorial election coming up. We've got congressional elections. We've got mayoral elections, aldermanic elections. Look local and then build out to national and make sure that you're voting in a way that's consistent with your family's needs and wants. So that's what I would recommend if anyone's doing anything. Try to get the vote out and then get other people to vote as well.
Well, and I think that's one of the simplest things when we say, like, how can you create change?
Mm-hmm.
Simplest level, you can, you know, learn about who's running, you can learn about what's going on in your community, and you can get out there and vote. Because you can make a difference. Your vote does count.
And there's organizations that help with that. Ballotpedia is one where they do a lot of the homework for you.
Okay. And, Ballotpedia, did you say?
Yeah, Ballotpedia. Uh-huh. Like instead of encyclopedia, it's Ballotpedia.
Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty of forums, candidate forums and things like that. But I know this is kind of a digital era, so people want to have some place they can go. So I think we'll probably include a link on our site for Ballotpedia so people have some place to look at. Just to make sure that there's no partisanship associated because we are a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So where's the best place that let us know all your Facebook, Instagram, everywhere people can find you?
Oh, yeah. Chi Social Change, CHI Social Change. It's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the same. Chi Social Change. And the social change is already taken. So okay. So that's why Chi.
That's great, though. Hey, Chicago. I mean, you know.
Yeah. It's an homage to the hometown. And also just making sure that we're true to our roots. So it's good.
Absolutely. And the website is chicagosocialchange.org. Correct.
That's one. Socialchange.site is our. We've upgraded some.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. So I was trying to do my homework.
No, you did. That will get you there.
Okay.
I just bounced you to socialchange.site.
Okay.
So socialchange site. Uh-huh.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, I just, you know, and I can always say this to you, but I just really, truly appreciate all the work that you are doing. It motivates myself, and I know many others, but the impact that you have on the community and people, it really is just a beautiful thing that you are doing. So,
too kind. Thank you, Zen. Thank you, Zen.
Thank you, Zen. Thank you. But thank you so much for joining me today. And I know the listeners are going to learn a lot and be able to help kind of support and do what they can to help social change.
Oh, well, thank you for the honor and privilege to talk with you. And of course, your listeners. I appreciate it.
Of course. And you guys, you know, any questions or topics you want to hear about, go ahead and shoot me an email at gettingzenwithgenz@gmail.com. I'll talk to you next time. Thanks. Bye.